It's self. It's what we think, feel, and act. And it's often used these days to mean our opinion of ourselves, our own self-importance, if you like, our view of our own importance and ability. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. And the life, now that word for life means true life, active, blessed, abundant life. That's what we get in exchange. I die, therefore I live an abundant life. So to possess true, abundant life, we have to die. And that's actually the message of the gospel, isn't it? We come to Jesus, we give him our life, and he takes that life, and it becomes as if we've been crucified with him, it's put to death, and we are born again into a new life. Our old self is as if it's been crucified with Christ. That's what that verse is saying. The old life has died. If you've given your life to Jesus tonight, the old you has died. Now, the problem is, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of the old me that's still hanging around. Now, we've been travelling the A47 quite regularly recently between here and Peterborough, and there's a telegraph pole on the A47, and it's got ivy climbing up it. Now, the ivy has been cut down, so it's dead, it's brown, but it's still clinging on to the telegraph pole. So you look at the telegraph pole and you see all this ivy, it's brown and dead, but it's still there. And you know, the first time I saw that, or noticed that, you know, God spoke to me about the fact of our old life. It's like the ivy. It's been cut at the root, but it's still clinging on. And our job is to take it down so that the true us can be seen. The true us, as in the person that God created us to be. The reason why I think I find this is such a challenge is because I think if we grasp this, it affects everything. Certainly that's been my experience, is that when we start to understand what it means that Jesus becomes greater and we become less, it makes you examine everything, every part of your life. And, how am I going to get through this now? In Matthew 5, verse 3, in Matthew 5, we read the Beatitudes, which is like this, the statements, the manifesto of Jesus as he starts the Sermon on the Mount and kind of outlines the kind of fundamental truths of the kingdom, if you like. And in verse 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And the word for poor here actually means destitute. Destitute of wealth, but not just wealth, influence, position, honor. In other words, this verse is saying when we are completely bankrupt in spirit, when we're at the end of ourselves, we are blessed because then we possess the kingdom. And what does it mean to possess the kingdom? Well, possessing the kingdom is possessing where Jesus reigns, the rule and reign of Jesus, where his will is done, where his power is evident. If we want more of the rule of Jesus in our lives, which ultimately results in blessing, we have to admit our spiritual bankruptcy. We have to give up any hold we have on our wealth, influence, position, and honor, and all the things that the world says we should be chasing after. Now, let's be really clear here. We can come to Jesus just as we are. That is amazing. And he will not reject us. But his purpose is that we become more like Jesus. And more of him means less of us. See, Darrell used the illustration last week of drawing near to God and taking steps closer to God. And as we take a step closer to him, he takes a step closer to us. But you know what? When we take a step closer to God, we're taking a step further away from ourselves. That's the truth of it. But let's just think of it. About it for a minute, what this actually means. Less of me, what does that mean? Well, it means less of my ideas, my demands, my way, my ego, my reputation, my opinions, my comfort, my rights. Yeah? And you could probably fill in a few others there. But you know what else it means? Less of my fears, my hang-ups, my difficulties, my doubt. Doesn't it? Less of me means more of God. And who's God? God is good. God is love. God is holy. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is all wisdom. He is faithful. He is perfect. Now that to me sounds like a pretty good exchange. If we want more of God, think of what we get. And all we have to do is give him ourselves. You see, thinking about, Daryl shared this morning a testimony of praying for a guy, and you know, you may well be able to identify this as well, but you know, if we actually crucified our reputation, if we put to death and laid down our own desire for the approval of others, how much freer would we be to witness? How much freer would we be to pray for the sick? I know that would be true in my life. I'll tell you a story just to show you how rubbish I have been in this area before, just to be honest with you. A few years ago, I was in Sainsbury's and I felt God tell me to pray for a lady who was struggling to walk with her trolley. And in typical fashion, I said, oh, nah. So anyway, but then I said, oh, no, okay, God, if I see her again, I'll pray for her. So I walked round the corner and lo and behold, this woman's there. But do you know what I did then? I thought, well, she got there pretty quick. There can't be much wrong with her. And I didn't pray for her. Now, that was a few years ago. I think I've learnt to be a bit more obedient now, but I don't always get it right. But the truth is, you know, if it's not about me and it's all about him, then that changes the way I behave, doesn't it? And if I am not concerned about me, and I'm not concerned about what people think about me, and I'm not concerned about what people might say about me, then I'm going to perhaps behave in a way that's different. Jesus wants us to encounter him more. Do you believe that tonight? Jesus wants a relationship with us that means that he is growing within us. He wants to fill us more. He wants to reveal more of himself to us. You know, there's no limit to him. The only limit is us, isn't it? How much of him do I want means how much of myself am I prepared to lay down. See, becoming more like Jesus is not an eradication of our personality, okay? Jesus has made every single one of us unique. You are unique. And every gift and ability you have is unique. But laying ourselves down means that all the rubbish, all the stuff that has tarnished us, that has tainted us, that has distorted that image of God that should be in us, that is in us, then becomes taken away. It becomes less, so that we become more of the person that God created us to be, a better version of ourselves. He wants to strip away everything that has distorted his image in us. So, the answer to experiencing more of God in our lives is giving more of our lives to him. And that means surrendering all of ourselves. That's not easy. Believe me, I know. I'm still on that journey, as I'm sure we all are. So, that means no clauses. I'll do this if. Please don't ask me to. Anything, but not that. If we're hanging on to ourselves, we won't find the true life that Jesus wants to give us. We won't have the encounters with Jesus that we want. Being filled with him means being willing to be empty of ourselves. It means giving the Holy Spirit permission to work in our lives, to transform us. And he does that by showing us the areas that we need to change. It means surrendering our own ideas, our own plans, our own desires and rights. How many times do we say, I have a right to that, you know? I don't deserve that. That's not fair. That's all about me, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying there isn't injustice in the world, but actually, we don't deserve anything, do we? We don't deserve the love of God. We don't deserve our salvation. We don't actually deserve the breath that we breathe. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. And God chooses to bless us. The only thing we can claim by right is what we have as children of God, what he gives us as our rights as his children. So giving the Holy Spirit permission to transform us means we're willing to allow him to show us those areas of our lives that perhaps aren't quite right. And we have to be willing for that. I spoke a couple of weeks ago from Psalm 51 about the beauty of brokenness. You know, the closer we get to Jesus, sometimes the more aware we become of our sin. But as we deal with that, the closer to him we become. And I've been finding over these last few months, it's been quite an uncomfortable journey, being honest with you. But I do know that it's worth it. Well, I believe it's worth it. I do believe it's worth it. But I think, you know, one of the things that I've found is that God does is he highlights areas in our lives by sometimes asking the question, why did you do that? Why did you say that? And then I start to think, well, why did I do that? Was it because I wanted somehow to promote myself? Because I wanted someone to feel, to think good about me? Or because I didn't want them to think badly of me? Why did I do that? Does that make sense? It's that kind of deep kind of investigation, if you like, into our motivations. What is driving me? You know, we talk about pride, don't we? And we know that pride is not a good thing. But pride in itself isn't all bad. We can be proud of something that we've done. We can be proud of our achievements in the sense that we are pleased with what we've achieved. God made the world and said, it's good. He was pleased with himself. He'd done a good job. But we have to recognize that all our abilities are a gift from God. So ultimately, the praise goes to him. We thank him and we praise him. But it's pride that is to do with self-promotion. The pride that's to do with self-elevation. It's about me. And most of the time, we wouldn't necessarily even recognize that. Because we don't think about it, do we? We seek recognition, approval, the good opinion of others. We seek our own advantage. We wouldn't say that we were necessarily, wouldn't describe ourselves as being selfish or whatever, but what we're doing is we're just protecting ourselves, perhaps. So, I don't really want to talk anymore because we need to worship. Daryl, could you come back up? Tonight I just felt that we have an opportunity to respond to what God might be saying in our own lives. And that's not necessarily what he's been saying to me. It's just, you know, we are all individuals and God speaks to us as individuals. And I'm not suggesting that what God wants to do and say to you is the same as what he's been saying to me. But I just really felt that this is so crucial if we want more of Jesus, that he wants so much more of us. He wants to bless us. He wants to work in our lives, but he wants us to let go of what is us, to let go, to allow him to to do what only he can do in our lives. Sometimes we spend too much energy trying to make things right, trying to work things out. And all Jesus is saying to us is, let go. Let go. More of me, less of you. That's what he wants to do. He wants, because at the end of the day, he knows. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows. You can trust him. Stop trying to work it out.